Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on September 20th, 2016 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana, as part of the Montana Book Festival. 11 storytellers shared their story based on the theme, Fork in the Road. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Tommy Peterson and is titled Going Postal. Thanks for listening.
This is called Going Postal and is for Brian. At age 60, I lost my job of 17 years as development director of a small nonprofit here in Missoula. I knew it was coming. Our organization was a time when the recession was happening. Our organization was struggling a little bit, even though it was a great organization. We had to merge with a larger one in order to survive. And my executive director told me about it some months ahead of time, so I was kind of prepared. But they had a larger development department, fundraising department, and I wasn't a part of that merger. So after 17 years, I was without a job here in Missoula, which is a tough kind of thing. But after 17 years, it was kind of nice to take a break and just enjoy this beautiful town that we're in, at least for a few weeks, because you can't be here very long without work. So I figured, you know, who likes to raise money? You know, nobody. So there's a lot of development director positions out there. And I'd been doing it a long time. And sure enough, there was one that I saw kind of right away there a couple weeks later. Put in my resume and cover letter and got the first interview. That went great. Got the second interview. Oh, this is good. This is good. Got a phone call then. Now it's a few weeks later because this takes a little while to happen. And it was, you came in second. Okay, all right, no worries. Again, a lot of nonprofits here in Missoula, a lot of development directors, so a lot of positions. And sure enough, I saw a second position sort of crop up, applied for that one. Put in my resume, cover letter, got the first interview, went great. Got the second interview with the executive director and a couple of staff people, and we got along famously. And in fact, that one, there was sort of a scheduling snafu, and the other person, because I said that I knew at the time there was just two of us at that time that were for the position. The other person was a younger woman, about 35, well-dressed woman. So that was interesting to kind of see that was my competitor. But I thought the second interview went really well and got the phone call. You were runner-up. Okay. Took a deep breath, and you know, I'm kind of a sports guy. As Mark said, I played a little soccer and played baseball and blah, blah. And I figure, okay, I'm 0 for 2. And, you know, in baseball, that's not too bad. And these weren't strikeouts. These were like fly balls, maybe at the warning track even. So I was hanging in there. I kind of figure I can do this again. And I do, and I see a third position. And third time's a charm, right? So I apply and put in my resume and my cover letter. You know, in case you haven't applied for a job in a while, this takes a while for these things to happen. You know, it's not like a quick phone call. After you turn in things, and it takes a couple of weeks, and then you get the first interview. And then if you're lucky enough to get the second interview, that's a few more weeks. And then there's the phone call. So by this time, it had been 4 or 5 months I'd been without work. So I was really kind of counting on this one. And with that second interview with this position, I was in front of the whole board of directors. And I was feeling pretty good. And they were asking me good questions. I felt like I was giving good answers. And just left feeling pretty confident. So a couple weeks later, I get a message to give that organization a call. And I remember I was sitting in my car in a parking lot at Rose Hours, of all places. And I was parked. And I take a deep breath and I call them back. And they say, you know, Tommy, We really loved your energy. We really, really loved it. And we had a vote with our board, and it was 4-3, and you didn't get the position. I wasn't smiling then. I remember I took the keys and threw them against the dash of the car. I was just enraged. And I was like calling that organization every name in the book. I had hung up the phone at this point. I mean, you can imagine, right? This is third time and out, and second place, 4-3, you know, shit. So I'm driving home, and I'm just pissed. And I get home, and my anger, I meet my wife at the door, and my anger turns into just tears, you know? It's just like, oh, baby, ah, you know? I have a plan B. All along, I kind of had a plan B, and that was the post office. I had seen in the paper somewhere, Craigslist, I think, actually, an ad for a rural postal carrier, and I figured, what the hell, you know? It's not my, you know, area of experience, but I need work, you know? I live in Missoula, Montana, so I applied. And so during all that time when I was applying for all those jobs, I was also applying for the post office. And that means the post office, being a government position, you take a lot of tests. You take a test, for instance, to see basically if you're dyslexic or not. Because a mailbox with a number 7233 is very different than 2733. And you better know the difference between that. So it turns out I'm not dyslexic, so that's good. You take drug tests, you take customer service tests, right? You know, what do you do if a, you know, customer says, fuck you? You say, have a nice day, you know. So, you know. So, lo and behold, I get a call from the postmaster of Missoula Post Office. Come into my office, I want to interview you. After all these tests, right? Okay. And I sit down in his office and he said, I want to offer you the job. It's like, seriously? You know, and there it is. There's the split for me. There's the fork for me. It's like, do I continue to literally beat my head up against the wall with this development work? You know, this is what I've done pretty much all my life. Or do I take a job that's offered to me? You know, here it is. So I went postal. So the post office takes, it's a steep learning curve, and they hired me right at the holidays. Really, my first day on the job was the day after Thanksgiving. Busiest mail day of the year. I was out there late with a headlamp and stuff. I really was. But I mean, it's a steep learning curve. But once you get it, you know, you kind of got it under your belt. So it's winter time, you know, right after the holidays, and I'm doing my route, and I'm driving one of those post office white boxy kind of vehicles, right-hand side, driving, windows always down because you're delivering mail out this way. And as I'm going up the street, I see someone standing at the mailbox, which isn't all that unusual. Some people meet you at the mailbox, but as I get closer, I realize, well, wait a minute, this guy looks familiar. And as I pull up, it's Brian. And I realize, Brian, oh yeah. Brian is a guy that's developmentally disabled and lived in a group home. And about 20 years ago or so, my family took them meals. And we would take all these guys a dinner meal, and we'd sit down and have dinner with these guys. It's like, ah, this is Brian. And as I pull up, I stop and say, Brian, right? That's Brian. And he instantly recognizes me. Tommy, I know you. Tommy, how long have we known each other? Well, I don't know, 22 years, Brian. 22 years, that's a long time. Yeah, it is a long time, Brian. That's fabulous. And Brian goes on to tell me about a little bit of his life. He was working at the Top Hat, actually, washing dishes. And he said, well, yeah, like Tommy, I cut my hand. And Brian's a big guy. I mean, he's like 200 pounds. He's broad-chested. So he's got these big hands, and he puts his big hand and his swollen finger that he cut in my smaller hand. So just show me. I said, oh, that's awful, Brian. Wow, but it looks like it's healing pretty good. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. So Tommy, how long have we known each other? Well, it's about 22 years, but that's a long time. It is, Brian. And we chat a few more minutes, and it's like, Brian, I gotta go. I gotta deliver mail. So we say goodbye. The next week, there's Brian at the mailbox. I stop. Tommy, it's so good to see you. Tommy, how long have we known each other? Well, about 22 years or so, Brian. That's a long time, 22 years. Yeah, it is, Brian. And he starts to polish my outside mirror because he sees something on there, and then he stops and looks, and he polishes it some more. And he says, well, hey, Tommy, can you get me one of those lanyards that you have on? Because I have my ID tag in them on those little plastic sleeves. Can you get me one of those? I said, well, I can't get you the ID tag. He said, no, just the little plastic thing. I said, yeah, sure, I'll do that, sure, absolutely. So week after week, Brian would meet me at the mailbox, and we would chat, and we would change stories like that. So this went on for months, and so now it's summertime, and I pull up to the mailbox. Brian, Tommy, how are you? Tommy, how long have we known each other? I said, well, it's 22 years. That's a long time, Tommy. Hey, Tommy, you know what? What, Brian? I'm going to Graceland. You mean like Elvis Presley Graceland? Yeah, I'm going to Graceland. I'm going with my wife. I didn't know Brian was married, you know. Yeah, we're going on the plane, and I get to hold her hand. I said, oh, that is fabulous, Brian. Yeah, we're going to be there for a while, and when we fly back, I get to hold her hand again. And at that point, the tears are welling up. And I was like, Brian, I got to go. And I don't let him do the 22-year thing. I just pull away because I'm starting to cry. And I pull over to the side, and I realize I'm sort of now kind of one of those times where you're sort of laughing and crying at the same time, because I realize that this is part of what this fork has given me. That is that I am so fortunate that I get to witness that kind of sweetness, that I get to witness that kind of love of holding someone's hand, you know, that I've gotten to witness Brian. So lucky me. So fast forward about 6 months, and still doing my route, but they changed the day of my route from a Saturday to a Wednesday. And for the past couple months, I hadn't seen Brian because I figured he had to work on that Wednesday. He maybe had Saturdays off. So when I pull up, though, I kind of slow down at his mailbox. I don't see him there, but I slow down. I kind of crane my neck and look over to see if he's coming out. Maybe he's a little late, but he hasn't come out. I haven't seen him for a while, and I miss him. Because, you know, it's been like 23 years now. And that's a long time. Thank you.
Thanks, Tommy. Tommy Peterson moved to Missoula and the Northern Rockies 25 years ago to continue mountain life, getting his graduate degree in environmental studies at University of Montana. He is the editor of the conservation anthology, A Road Runs Through It, with a foreword by Annie Prulks, and on writing breaks, plays soccer with the old boys at the Peace Farm Field. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers John Engen, Jameson Gordon, Neil McMahon, Harry Nyes, Pat Williams, David Allen Cates, Shoba Rao, Michael Marsalek, Becca Kelly, Tommy Peterson, and Allison Cox. Remember, your story matters. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn more. TellUsSomething.org. If you're interested in sponsoring Tell Us Something, email me at marc@tellussomething.org. That's mark@tellussomething.org. missoula.org. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local, house-made ingredients. Dining made different. View their menu and event schedule at tophatlounge.com. The Wilma, a locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building. TheWilma.com. CabinetParts.com, the number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. Missoula Broadcasting Company, which includes The Trail 103.3, Missoula's quality rock, and part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music. Jack FM, playing what they want. U104.5 FM, finally, a radio station for you. UFM keeps every listener happy and upbeat with a fun mix of top 40 favorites and an upbeat alt-pop gems. And ESPN 102.9, KKVU HD4, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain, Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom, modern, and mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He is at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there, and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. You can always friend up with him on Facebook, because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCainWoodworks. Find. Find is a vintage store located in Missoula, Montana that sells unique finds, antiques, eclectic furniture, and home decor. Currently in transition, Find will reopen its doors at some undetermined date. Gecko Designs. Gecko Designs is a great little design shop specializing in responsive, results-driven web design and are proud supporters of the arts, hosting First Friday events every month and making sure that the artists receive the full sale amount when they successfully sell a piece of art. GeckoDesigns.com. The Bookstore at the University of Montana. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction. FactandFictionBooks.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com.